Good morning, John.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you? Busy Pretty morning, good. I can imagine.
No, well, it is. There's lots on to celebrate this event, the anniversary of it, etc. You know, it's not often that any referendum, just to get a referendum passed, is an amazing event, let alone a 90% yes vote.
And overwhelmingly, and, you know, for 50 years, it's such a huge milestone. But for First Nations, how important is it to them?
Well, it's a sign of the times of the 60s, I guess, in many ways, how people had, the population in general, that's the Australian population, had thought that there were things wrong and we needed to do something with Aboriginal people positively rather than negatively. It was also a reflection, of course, of what was happening in the United States, where you have those civil rights demonstrations and movements and the Black Power movements in the United States, and that both affected Aboriginal people, but it also showed non-Aboriginal Australians about how they could do things too. They could do this.
The exhibition, you're kind of featuring works that kind of explore the times before the referendum. How do you kind of explore that?
Well, it's called Living in Their Times, and it talks about the times, before the referendum or about that time when things, there was a general zeitgeist was that things had to change, and there's a big debate about whether Aboriginal people would just be assimilated into white society or whether they could be integrated, they could maintain their difference and their culture, our culture, etc. But in those days, that's why I used this artist, Robert Campbell Jr., who's from Kempsey, and he talks about people being forced to sit in Aboriginal sections in the cinema. Mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to swim in swimming pools in country towns. They'd be taken to certain places in the hospitals. You'd be placed on the veranda so you didn't contaminate the white patients. Those things all happened in those days. Aboriginal people were just about to get the right to vote, but it wasn't really encouraged. So they weren't encouraged to vote. They weren't. It wasn't widely, distributed that they should. And of course, the basic thing of Australian things, they weren't allowed to buy alcohol in a pub, so they couldn't go into a pub and have a beer, which would have been seen as a really basically Australian thing to do.
Mm. I mean, it's kind of interesting because you kind of forget 50 years is not that long ago at all. And, even the white Australian policy didn't, stop coming into effect until, the late 70s. It's such modern history, but why do people think, that was way back, think it's further back than it actually is?
Most probably that's the part of doing this celebration and having this cross-media art thing. I think my impression of UTS has always been that it's a film and digital media place to work with television and radio and so on, such as this, which is in park next door to UTS. So I've always thought that UTS was like that. And so we've had this artist, Robert Campbell Jr., showing, who directly wrote these issues into his paintings. You know, these paintings are about, as he says, about my life and times. And that's when they weren't allowed to buy a beer, though people weren't allowed to swim in the pools. Mm. They weren't allowed. That's in my lifetime, all this. I remember being forced to sit at the front of the cinema. And so on, and not being allowed to go to certain places, whether it was really evident, clear, but people would say, you can't sit here, or you can't eat here, and so on. We had that, but then also this incredible film program that's put together by Pauline Clagg, the filmmaker and film historian that's here about those times. And that's on this afternoon at the University Hall, which is sort of in Harris Street, just around the corner from Broadway. But that's on all this afternoon, a set of films, Two Bob Mermaid, Sisters in the Black Movement, Under Skin in Blood, Black Chook, and so on. These are films both light and heavy about those times. Yeah.
I mean, they're also about stories about resistance.
It's about persistence that people... in those days also, my parents' time, see, my father had a dog tag. He had to carry an internal passport, which no one here would even believe. When I went to university in the late 60s, early 70s, no one there believed that that was the law, or the people or the children were taken away from their parents. They just refused to believe that. They were saying, oh, no, this is Australia. That doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. That happens in communist Russia, or it happens in China or Nazi Germany. It didn't happen here. But, you know, like I said, my father had to carry this thing so that when he was going to work, like he used to go to work at the crack of dawn, the police could pull him up and say, well, what are you doing here? You must be... breaking and entering or something. Why are you up this early, etc.? Well, he had to produce this passport to say who he was. Mm. And then that also meant that at the end of the day or the end of the week, that all of his workmates and that would go to the pub to have a beer. Well, he had to show this to say, yeah, I'm allowed to have a beer type of thing. And that, as I said, people... even now, when I went to university, people just refused to believe it. It was just, it's stunning that, yeah, it's just so close within our time. Yeah.
It kind of feels a bit, even now, in this time now, that we still haven't really progressed that far from that, just looking at the world politics as it is now. How does art kind of, for you, connect people with their past and say, look, this has happened then, still happening now, how can we move forward?
Well, I think it's really moved forward. In 1967, the biggest question in the Australian art world was the biggest discussion and argument was between the abstract painters and the figurative painters. So that shows you how sophisticated we were thinking in those days. Mm. And abstraction had really arrived in Australia in a big way, and these people would actually have punch-ups over whether they were an abstract painter or a bloody figurative painter.
Wow.
They were that's a very serious question, of course, as you can imagine. Sorry, I'm being a smartass. But it's just so stupid. Mm. But directly after that, of course, we've moved on and... it would be unthinkable almost now that you wouldn't make art that contains some sort of political message. That just into the 67 and then into the 70s, you have all those movements of a feminist movement, women coming into art and a bit in being not coming in, but being recognised and really getting out there, and a whole set of Aboriginal artists that are then moved in. And it's not funny that Tracy Moffat has represented Australia at the Venice Biennale that opened a couple of weeks ago. Mm. So that an Aboriginal person is representing Australia in the foremost art event, visual arts event in the world. So things have moved on that way, as you say. But then on the other hand, all those figures about... people suffering from malnourishment or disease or being at the bottom end of the financial structure in Australia, still living in poverty, still suffering from preventable diseases, are still happening on a massive scale. And although we've had the apology about the stolen generation, there's more children being taken away from Aboriginal parents now than ever before. And this curious thing of that Aboriginal people make up about one third of all prisoners, people in jails now, about one third of all people in jails, both men and women, are Aboriginal. And you think that that wasn't the case before. Those numbers have really increased out of sight.
Like, without all that happening, it's just kind of bubbling away under the surface. Is art a way to kind of expose this as well as the news?
Well, everyone, art teaches you. It's like reading a book or reading a book. And book writing is art. And people, these filmmakers and visual artists, well, they write with that form of literature, so to speak. But there are, you know, now, like I was just talking before, Alexis Wright, for instance, has won the foremost Australian Literary Prize twice. It's common now, not common, but it's happened that there are Aboriginal people winning those awards now. There are Aboriginal people winning art awards and certainly being very involved and very visible now that didn't happen before. It didn't happen before. I think in the 60s, in the early 60s, there was a very large Bach painting exhibition of over 100 Bach paintings, and that toured through the state galleries in Australia. And that would have had a big effect as well, that people were suddenly seeing Aboriginal people as not being illiterate, in a sense, or being without a culture, or without any sort of... To have a culture means you're sophisticated, you actually think, and you might think abstractly, which means you think intelligently, rather than just being some sort of Stone Age person. And... I think that's that revolution in arts, people being allowed to express themselves, it allows Aboriginal people to feel a consciousness of who we are. We think we're something. We think we're happier. I think people are happier, but we think we have an idea of who we are and our position here, whereas previously you wouldn't have been allowed to have a voice at all, and I think that's had a big impact for other non-Aboriginal, non-British people. I think that's so Asian people now have a much more visible place in Australia, and certainly Lebanese and so on have a much more visible place in Australia, and seen their... They have a consciousness and about who they are. They're not afraid to say, "Well, that we're this, and we're part of Australia, or we have an active role here."
Yeah, we might leave it on that note. But John, thank you so much for joining us here. Living in Their Times, it is kicking off in about an hour and a half. So.
Yeah.
Plenty to look forward to. There will be across four sites at UTS. We'll put all those details on at 2ser.com. But, John, thank you so much for joining us here on So Hot Right Now.
No, it's good to get this out. Thanks.
No problem.